All right, well, it's 7 o'clock.
Amen. And we're here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So we thank you, Lord. We gather here tonight, Lord. We submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to everything you want to do in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the word that we will hear tonight. We thank you for ministering into each one of our lives, speaking to us the things that we need to hear. And we just sanctify and dedicate this time now to you, Lord. For you are Lord. And we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I got to tell you a story. Last week I preached a message on connecting with other human beings and things we can do to connect with and build relationships with other individuals. Don't get too comfortable, Harry. And right after that, the Holy Spirit picked a portion of that out and said, really grab the Holy Spirit. I mean, have you ever had the Holy Spirit, I mean, really put the pressure on you? I mean, you know, and somebody might say, well, Bob, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't force his will on anybody. Well, yes, but when you're submitted to his will, when you say, I am your servant, I want to, then that opens up a whole totally different realm.
And he can make you uncomfortable.
He can really put the pressure on you. And so there was a portion of this. He said, I want you to build another message on this right here. And I said, okay. So I did. Then after I got that done, he said, that's a Sunday message. I want you to take this Wednesday off. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to argue when the boss tells me to take a day off. So tonight, we're going to be blessed because Harry has a word for us. Yeah, Harry has a word for us. And while he's meandering his way up here, we just thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for the wonderful miracle and things he's done in Marie's life. We just thank him for just healing her and restoring her. And she's right back here with us this evening. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We just give you the glory and the credit and the honor for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Harry, it's all yours.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. When they have big productions on, in a big movie house or anything else where they have people coming up and they're doing something and the star comes up later, you know, they always have the warm-up guy.
Yes.
I'm the warm-up guy.
Oh,
I'm the warm-up guy.
Warm-up
I'm the warm-up guy for Pastor Bob. So.
You're the first
now,
act, right?
Now, how this happened is this. Bob called me and he told me the same story that he was told, that take a day off. And he says, I wonder if you've got a message. And I says, And I said, not really. I guess I could. I don't think so. And it was terrible.
Would you repeat that? I didn't get all that.
And I'm kidding. I'm serious. I thought, well, boy, did he hit me at the wrong time because I wasn't really prepared in that way, huh?
You waited till the last day? He called me earlier.
It was sometime this morning around 10 o'clock.
Hey, I just follow orders.
So about 10 o'clock, here comes Bob, give me a call. You know, I thought, well, I didn't think so. So he said, okay, I'll take care of it. And I hung up, and the guilt comes on. Oh, man. And the Holy Spirit's talking to me, and he says, what's the matter with you? You wanted, you said you want more of me? Well, okay, yeah. And it got worse and worse. So finally I said, okay, I've got to get something here. And suddenly I asked him, I said, well, what can I talk about? And he says, forgiveness. And I thought, oh, man. My knees got weak. I started shaking. And I says, okay, I'll look into it. So I called Bob right back, and I says, Bob, I says, I believe I have a message for you. I said, I'll do it tonight. I said, like you asked me to. And Bob says, well, that's good. He says, because I've got a message on such and such. And I says, well, that's what I'm going to talk about. So the two of us have got a kick out of this because it's exactly the same thing. But I'm the warm-up guy. I am not the guy that's going to give the complete and whole message, but I want to just give people an idea of forgiveness, unforgiveness, and the blessings that come with it. God bless you guys. Come on in. We're just getting started.
The
last. Now we're just getting into the service part. Oh, yeah, the last? When he gets offered the chance to speak.
Do that again, Harry.
Well, it started off with Bob giving me a message and God calling me and asking me to do the message tonight. And I got sort of a little flustered and I was trying to ask him, I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? You know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm finding it. The two of us were standing. It was you, but well, okay, Bob, yeah, but yeah. So, anyways, okay.
That's the message. Okay.
That's the message. Now, Bob, it's all yours.
There's preaching in tongues.
Yeah, here comes the tongues. Psalm 103:3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Notice one thing. Forgiveness and then the healing. Forgiveness and then the healing. That hit me just like a brick between my eyes. Forgiving and forgive. Forgiveness. To some of us, those words conjure up thoughts of past experiences, some that can be good, and some of them are bad. You get bitterness, you know, you get uneasy, discomfort, anxiety. Why? Why do we get our backs up against the wall and set our defenses? We all throw up arguments. Well, you don't know what he did to me. I can maybe forgive, but I won't forget. These are things that they preach about day in and day out, all through the country. But there is something to this. It's something deeper. I can only tell you, I can't tell you what to do. I can only tell you what I had to do and what I went through. Many years ago, as I was working as a sales and service representative on a job, traveling over the country and teaching electronics, electrical, hydraulics, pneumatics, mechanics, everything. I had to hold these schools. And I was teaching guys on how to troubleshoot machinery, how to troubleshoot electronics, electrical, hydraulics, the whole thing. And there were certain procedures that I went through, and I went through it pretty good because I took a machine, the machine that these guys are going to have to work on, and I put troubles into the machine and showed them how the troubleshooting was gone. Well, some guys caught on, and most of them didn't. And on this certain railroad that I was working with, they had a few men that were put in positions that they couldn't really handle. And it caused problems. And I had this one guy call me on a Sunday night, and he says, I've got a trouble with the machine. And he says, I want you to come out here right away. And I says, well, I'm heading for Texas. Whereabouts are you? Where's the machine? He's in Grand Junction. So I looked at him. I says, well, that doesn't work. He says, well, you can cancel your trip to Texas and come on down. You know, right. This doesn't work. So I told him, I says, okay, let's go through the machine. Let's go part by part, piece by piece, and let's go through it. And I went through step by step by step. And he couldn't catch it. He could not catch on to what I was trying to tell him. Consequently, he says, okay. He says, forget it. He hung up. And I guess he called his supervisor, superintendent that was working here in Denver. And I went to see him because he called me. And he says, we were going to get this straightened out right away. And as soon as I walked in the I had the prints. I had all the electrical. And I told him exactly what to do and how to do it. It's perfect. This man, in front of about 15, 20 other representatives from other companies that knew me, because we've been to conferences and all kinds of things, this man It gets me when I think about it. He just yelled out in front of everybody. My boy out in Grand Junction tells me that you are blabby, blah, 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 and you suck buttermilk. You know? And I thought, okay. And I'm standing there looking at this guy, and I thought, what am I going to do with all these guys? You know? And I had the prince in my hand. And I says, I've talked to him for 2 hours last night, and he didn't catch on to what I'm trying to explain to him. I said, here's the print, here's the problem. All he has to do is take out these contacts, reverse them, and put them back in. I says, it makes it the way it's supposed to be. He put them in backwards. And I says, well, here's the prince. You're going to go out there and do it. And I says, I'm going to Texas. And I threw the prince on the ground, and I walked out. Well, that's not what you do when you're a representative for a company. But this man was trying to show how big he is in front of everybody else. And everybody knew it. All those guys, they looked at me and they give me the thumbs up. And I thought, okay, well, so I took off. Well, he embarrassed me to the point where I had about a day of driving down to Texas under a head full head of steam. And I'm telling you, my head was steaming. I was that angry. I was angry. He embarrassed me. I couldn't get through to these guys. They don't listen. They won't listen to what you're telling them. And then my boss called me. When I got to Texas, I got a phone call at the motel that I was going to be at, and I started getting another dressing down. And I says, well, I says, are you? And this guy is a real gentleman as far as I'm concerned. He's a real neat guy. His name is Floyd Glasser, and I wish I could see him again. He was just a beautiful person. Anyways, we talked on the phone, and he says, sounds like you're going to have a problem back there. I said, no, no problem at all. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Okay. He said, okay, I'll trust you. That's fine. So now I'm thinking, what do I do with this guy? I let it go for about 2 or 3 weeks. And they kept calling me from the headquarters and saying, you've got to go see him. You've got to go see him. And I says, what am I supposed to do? Apologize to him? And the guy says, yeah. I says, I got to apologize for him embarrassing me. Now, how does this work? I know you guys have got to have, maybe not the same example, but you had to have something that comes close to it. Or somebody's embarrassing you. You know, and all you've got is animosity towards a person. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Anyways, my boss told me, Floyd told us, and he says, Harry, he says, you got to go down there. And you talk to him. I said, I'm not going to apologize. He said, you don't have to. Just tell him it's an unfortunate incident. I said, good enough. Talk to you later. Went back. I talked to him. I said, you know, it's rather unfortunate we had this little problem. I says, I think we can correct this all up, you know, and so on and so forth. I think the machine's working okay. And I says, the prints I gave you and the things that he did, I says, it worked out. He says, yeah, okay. And I went home, and I thought, this still bugs me. Why is it bugging me? I didn't want to do anything for that man at all. Anything. I didn't want to give him any joy of any kind. I didn't want to take him out for lunch or even breakfast or even the cheapest dinner I could find, you know. And I had to take this on. And he can tell you, it bothered me quite a while. Remember that? Yeah. So finally, I thought, what do I do with this? And the church that I was going to, a man talked about forgiveness. Oh, yeah. And I says, okay, let's see what's going on here with this. And I thought, forgiveness. Okay, I can forgive. So finally, I said in my heart, I says, Father, I forgive this man. I don't want to have anything more to do with it. I says, let that situation go in the back of the back burner. I says, I don't want any part of it. I just want to forget about it. And all of a sudden, this load just lifted off of me. I mean, it just, all of a sudden, I felt a, a tingling, a shiver. I can feel it right now. I can feel it right now. My hair is standing up in my arms here, in my back. And I could feel it. And I cried. So that's what forgiveness is. Is that what forgiveness does? It's God. Praise God. It's not forgiving the other person. It's yourself that you're helping. You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for anybody except yourself. It may release the other person into the Lord's hands, and it'll help him out of a situation that he's in. There's a story that I read, and I don't know if I remember, if I've ever said anything to you guys about it, but it's a book called A Boy Called It. A young fellow, 5 or 6 years old, had a stepmother. The old Cinderella story. And my daughter gave me the book. She says it's a little book on psychology, but she says, I think you should read it. It's a story of a boy that was, you can call it, abused to the point of breaking a spirit. This kid was 6 years old. He went to school dirty. He lived in the basement, in the coal bin in the basement that was made into a room. He slept in the coal bin. He went to school dirty, filthy. And I don't know how this kid ever, I don't know how this guy ever could take what he did. The kids in school hated him. They ran after him, pelted him with mud and dirt and sticks, and called him all kinds of names. It's one of the most amazing stories that you've got to read this sometime if you ever find that book, The Boy Called It. And there are times in the pages where you just sit there and you shake your head and you say, nah, nobody can live through this. But this child was beaten. He had to, if he had to do certain things. If he didn't do it, she clobbered him all over the place. He'd come home, go to school, and he'd, oh yeah, I fell down the stairs and went down the basement. I didn't turn the light on, and I fell down the stairs. I got this, and I did that, and all kinds of excuses. He went through an abusive system that would be beyond anything that you can imagine. It chokes me up when I think about it. But this guy, finally, this guy went on for about 4 or 5 years. Now, and then this kid finally says, no, they're not going to break me. I'm going to act like I'm hurt, but they're not going to hurt me anymore. And he went on like this for a few years, a couple of years. And finally, a teacher said, you look like you've hurt your eye. What happened? Oh, he says, I was playing in the backyard and turned around and bumped into a tree or something. I can't remember all the excuses that he had to come up with. And they finally found out, and they said, you're not going back home. And he started shaking. He says, I'm going to. He knew that if they found out that he talked to them at the school, because she told him how to lie, what to say, and what not to say, you know. Sounds like this family here in Denver that the man just became, yeah, Thomas, yeah. Aaron A. Thomas and the kids beaten up. Only this guy was a lot worse. This kid was going through a lot worse. Now, he went through this life, the first part of his life, I mean, just in total unbelievable life. Horrible. I mean, he couldn't get his pants changed. He couldn't change underwear. He couldn't, if he washed them, he had to do it quietly on the side somewhere. He had to sneak his underwear and wash them himself. Couldn't take a bath because they wouldn't let him. The father showed up once in a while and tried to tell the kid, well, he says, someday we'll get this all straightened out. Someday we'll get it. He was browbeating himself. He didn't stand up for the kid or anything. So finally the teacher said, hey, that's enough. You're not going back there. And he was absolutely stunned. And the police were there. Everybody was there. And they got him out of that room, out of that house. Now, going through that kind of life, he went to school, went into a foster home, I believe. And he went through school. He went to college. He's a psychologist. And he has forgiven everything. You know, when you're that small and you grow up with this stuff, with this hatred, with this ugliness in your life, how do you forgive? How can you forgive? A child never, ever talks back to his parents. I mean, you know, when they're young, when they're small. Especially if they're in a home that is cruel, abusive, language, beatings. You just cannot imagine a child living up there. And then coming out of that and being able to forgive. But there's a God. There's a God that comes through this child's life. That's the God that I want to worship. That's the God that I want to love. That's the God that I want to stand behind, stand in front of and say, Father, you are my Father. Jesus, you're my brother. Only you can do something like that. Only you can perform a miracle such as this. The results of unforgiveness can be devastating. I know a person that is crippled with arthritis and all kinds of other difficulties. This person told me that they had forgiven everything. But yet, when you hear them talk, there's unforgiveness in there. And you can feel it, and you can hear it. How do you get through to that kind of person? How do you get through that person? Talked to that person quite a few times about forgiveness and total unforgiveness, total forgiveness. I said, God is the only one that can really totally forgive. He's the only one that's got the power to forgive your sins. But he says, if you take the different words that come out of the concordance, you can see that there's a word that says release. You cannot forgive. You haven't got the power to forgive the sin of the person. That's between him and God. That's between myself and God. If I have unforgiveness in my life, he's not going to answer prayer. Why? Why do I say that? Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Wow. There's an answer why we don't have prayers answered at times. There might be some unforgiveness in our lives. There may be something that is causing you to holding back. You know, I know that when I was young, my father was a very intelligent man. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. He was almost a genius, I'd say. Because he always wanted to be an engineer at one time when he was young. And then he wanted to be a research scientist. But at that time, he didn't have the money to go through college for those things. And he became a medical doctor. He introduced a lot of things in the Canadian area amongst the people that he lived, that he saw things that other people had not other doctors had not seen, another had not diagnosed, and he caught on to what was going on. But he was always studying. He was always looking into the. I remember him. He would read a book. He'd have that book in front of him, and if you talked to him or called him, he wouldn't hear a word. It's like Marie. When she's reading, she's completely engrossed in what she's doing. I mean, she is focused. My dad was so focused. The only way that you could ever get his attention to call him for dinner, you had to put your hand over his page, over the book, and then he'd, what? No. Anyways, my dad wanted me to be this. He wanted me to be that. He wanted me to be a doctor. No. Okay. My problem was that I didn't have that kind of concentration or focus on life. I had other problems that they didn't understand in those days, but it was about 4 or 5 years ago that I found out what was wrong with me. I was watching a movie, what were we watching? You and I were watching something. Ah, yeah. I remember Dr. Phil. Yeah, Dr. Phil. There was a program there that they brought in a boy. And they were talking about this kid that was having a problem. And I listened to this young fella talking. He's about 14, 15 years old, I think. And he was talking about the problems that he has. That he had trouble with concentration, he's this and that, you know, all kinds of things. And I had looked at him, and I said, I was looking at Maria, and I looked at her, and I was tears in my eyes, and I said, that's what my problem was. That's exactly what I was talking about. That's what I was trying to tell my folks, you know. I was trying to tell my mom and dad, my sister, you know. I said, I couldn't explain it to them. There was no way of explaining it. It's called ADD. And I was full of it. I was above my head in it. I was drowning in that stuff. And I was wondering why I was having such a big problem I had in school. I couldn't concentrate. And when they got into real sciences, like mathematics, chemistry, I was lost, totally lost. Algebra, oh boy. Then we got into trigonometry, figured that out. Then we got into calculus, and I was ready to quit school and get out of there, because it was just nothing but problems for me, which I had to do. I had to drop out. I could not keep up with it. Okay. My dad, from the time I was small, gave me a pretty rough time. I remember one time. This is how silly things are. I was going through the addition tables, okay? 9 and 1 is 2. 9 and 1 is 10. 9 and 2 is 11. 9 and 3 is 12. 9 and 5 is 14. 9 and 6, blank. What's 9 and 7? 16. Well, what's 9 and 5? 9 and 6? Blank. That's amazing, isn't it? How do you go from one, you know, it's just one step at a time, one number at a time. I could not figure it out. And we were sitting at that table, and I was in total tears. My mother finally came in, and my dad was saying, are you that stupid? Are you that dumb that you can't figure this out? Well, I started to hate my dad. Boy, isn't it amazing how the devil can make you unforgivable? Unforgiven. Anyways, I went through that for a while. It wasn't until about 1970s I finally forgave my dad. Oh, this is way back in 1930s. This is 40 years of carrying grudge, hatred. I finally forgave my dad. And how it came about was very crazy. We were going to a sort of a psychology type of a class in a church. And I was getting upset because we were talking about something that was getting to my gut. It was getting to me real bad. And I was looking for the way out of that house. I couldn't find the door. I couldn't find the door. It was getting to me so bad that I was just shaking. And then the minister was sitting on the floor. And he says, "Harry, I am your father, and I'm telling you to sit down." And I ran to that guy, and I was going to pound him into the ground. And I got up to him, and I went like this. I went, that's all I could do. I was back to being a 4-year-old, 5-year-old kid. All I could do was give him a little slap on the arm. And I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. Remember that, Marie? That was the day I forgave my dad. I could forgive him. And boy, did he release me from something there. God just opened up the door for me. And he gave me such a tremendous lift in my spirit that I cannot hold forgiveness I cannot hold unforgiveness in my heart anymore. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want any part of unforgiveness. I can get uneasy with people. I can get a little tick with people. That's okay. Just release them to the Lord. That's it. You're in the Lord's hands. If people knew what I was thinking when they give me a bad time, I say, you're in the Lord's hands and you're going to get it. I leave it to the Father. He's bigger. He can beat up anybody's father. No, this is true. It's an emotional thing. Because it's in you that has the unforgiveness. You're the one that has to forgive. And when you do, the release is so powerful. So powerful. That you'll feel a load of bricks coming right off your back. Right off your shoulder. And it's just amazing. I remember one time, I'm driving down the highway. I've got to go up to Wyoming, Cheyenne. And I've got to meet a friend up there and teach a new guy on the job. And he's a mechanic, and we had to show him the ins and outs of the electrical, and I'm supposed to teach him in 24 hours, but I can't. You know, it takes 2 or 3 weeks to learn half decently. So I went up there, and fine, it was. I got up there, I talked to the kid and everything else, everything's good. And he started getting a little bit cocky. And I said, okay, let's break for lunch, and we'll go and eat lunch, you know. Well, he had brought his lunch, so that's fine. I just sat there. I said, come on. I took my friend, went out, had something to eat, and I said, you know, that guy's, I said, what's this guy? And I said, he's, you know, he's pretty feisty, you know. What's the deal with him? He said, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I said, okay. So we had lunch, went back, came back, and we started working on the machine again. I told him, you know. And I was walking in the door, and this guy stands there, he says, well, here comes the big nose guy. Yeah, I got a big nose. What? So, is that all you got? Tell me something else. Tell me something that's good or bad. That doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me anymore. This guy was kept on and on. We let it go for that day. I went home. I went back to Denver. 2 days later, I was called up. Had to go back up there again. And I thought about this guy. Now, I'm sitting in the car, and I'm driving up there. By the time I got to Fort Collins, I was gripping that steering wheel so tight, I was squeezing the blood out of that steering wheel. And I was, this is not good, you know. And I was thinking of what I was going to do to that guy when I get up there and what I was going to tell him, you know. And finally, you know, it just suddenly dawned on me, my left foot is pulled right up tight. I can feel the muscles in my leg are just solid. My back was all tense. My neck was just like a rock. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive that kid. I said, do whatever you want to do, but I says, that's enough. Devil, get away from me. Leave in the name of Jesus. And I'm not kidding. I think that the car came off about 4 feet off the ground, and it just floated down the highway. I mean, I couldn't even feel the rumble. It was just the smoothest ride. And, man, I just cried. I just had a good old time in the Lord, just enjoying the tears of release. Total release and unforgiveness. Totally forgiven. And the Lord said, I forgive you. When you forgive others, I will forgive you, and your prayers will be answered. I can tell you about all kinds of experiences. When I got, when I got up to Cheyenne, I looked at this kid and he started giving me all these names and everything else, and I looked at my friend and I says, well, Tony, what are you going to do? I said, what do you think of this guy? He says, he's not working for me anymore. He says, you're back. He says, you're going back to North Platte. Boom! It was over. The guy was gone. I released him. The Lord took care of it. Told Tony what to do, and the guy was gone. Then we got a mechanic in that really was great to work with. We really had a... Then that machine started working good. You may think that when you forgive somebody, that you're giving them all the candy. You're not. If that man or that person, whoever it is, has given you a bad time, and they are not forgiven, and they keep giving you a hard time, you're the one that's getting hurt. It doesn't do anything to the other person. They think they're getting away with murder. But then the minute that you forgive them and release them, all of a sudden, the tables turn, and the devil gets on them. He's gone from you, and you're released, and the joy of the Lord is in your heart, and you just dance. I'm not kidding. It's just amazing what it does to you. So when we read this, Mark 11:24, what does it tell us? Plain and simple, forgive so that the sins of your lives will be forgiven. You don't have the strength in your body to carry results that come from unforgiveness. There's no way that your body can handle unforgiveness. No way. It's going to come out in... It'll come out in arthritis. That's the first part that doctors say that unforgiveness does. That's what psychiatrists and psychologists say. You know. But they said that unforgiveness, if they see somebody with arthritis, that's what they come up with. I don't know how scientific that is, but I got it written down here. It'll tear you up, chew you up, and spit you out like a piece of garbage. Unforgiveness will kill you. You can't handle it. Don't do it. If you've got any little thing that's something that you want to, you know, to get away from, they say that when you have a problem coming up in your mind, and it is something that the devil is trying to dig at you, and he's giving you a poke in the ribs, and he's making you uncomfortable, and you're like, what does he tell you to do? Forgive? No. Think about something else, do something else completely different, and get away from the situation. I had a little frustration this afternoon, and I came upstairs, and I said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to read the paper. So I read some of the paper, and I looked at that, and that was a bunch of useless nonsense. I threw that aside, too. So we sat and talked. I thank God for Marie. She's had to forgive me a few times, but she sticks closer than a sister. Be kind and... Oh, yeah. How about Ephesians 4:32? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Compassionate and loving to other people. There's the one that's compassionate I'm looking at. You've got compassion in your heart. You've gone through a few things, but your compassion is still there. Marie, your compassion is something that's way beyond anything I could imagine. When I look at you and I think about some of the things that we used to, what we've done and what we've gone through, I don't know how you did it, but but I love you for it. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You could also say that 1 John 1:9 refers back to Mark 11:24. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When I was studying this, and when I was going through this little work here, I thought of all the things in my life that I had so much hatred to. When I was small, quite small, I'm 6'4", almost 200 pounds, I was very small and sickly. I was beat up by every kid in the neighborhood. And there were some guys there that I would just love to go back and see them and pop them one way, the way they popped me a few times. But my dad would always tell me that I can't retaliate. It's not for me to retaliate. What do you mean? What do you mean I can't fight? Well, if I'd fought and he found out that I was fighting back, I'd get a little whooping. Well, some people, my dad was a pacifist, quite simply a pacifist. He was a doctor in the White Russian Army, fighting against the Bolsheviks, the communists. Back in 1918, 1919, and 1920, after the war. But he was still a compassionate doctor. And he finally escaped out of Russia in 1925 after a few rotten incidences up there. And I don't know if my dad had unforgiveness in his heart. I mean, what he went through, what my folks went through, I can see why he didn't want me to be a fighter. He had enough of it during that war. My mother told me a few stories about what my dad went through and what happened. My dad would never talk about it, of course. He was quite a hero. He would ride a horse out into the battlefield if he could see a man's arm waving, asking for help, screaming. He'd ride a horse out there, grab that guy, pull him out in the saddle, and ride him back and take care of him. I understand that he did that a few times. I don't know. Quite a guy. I'm amazed. But you know, the thing is, why couldn't I forgive him when I was a kid? Because I was never taught. I was never taught about what forgiveness is. And how to forgive. How do you release somebody from this kind of situation? All I want to say now is I want to finish. I want to close. All I want to say to you, each one of you, teach everybody that you know that unforgiveness is going to kill you. It'll hurt you. It'll come down on top of you like a load of bricks. You've got to be able to just say, I don't care what that man thinks, what that person, what that woman thinks, what that person thinks. I don't care. It isn't going to hang on to me. It's going to wash off me like water off a duck's back. No more. No more will I hold a grudge against anybody or anything. I'm hearing people say things about Barack Obama. What he's doing, how terrible things are, what he's saying, and the things that are coming on this country. Forgive him. I release him to the Lord. I release the governor of the state. I release the mayor of the city. I release the president of the United States. I release the senators and the representatives. And just say, they're all in your hands, Father. You take care of it. I can't do it anyway. There's nothing I can do. I can vote against them, or I can vote for them. That's all I can do. Or write a letter. But they're released. And I release them in the name of Jesus. And I give them to the Lord. And may the Lord touch them in the way that they need to be touched. And I'm free. And anybody who is set free from the Lord is free indeed. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Harry. You know, what Harry is talking about here is one of the hardest and most difficult things for the flesh to do. The flesh does not want to forgive. The flesh wants to get revenge. The flesh wants to hold a grudge. The flesh wants to get its pound of flesh, yes. You see, if the devil can keep you in unforgiveness, then he can suck all the power out of your life. If he can keep you in unforgiveness, then he can keep you in bondage. If he can keep you in bondage, you're not going to work, walk, and operate in the things of the Spirit. That's how important forgiveness is. I learned something from Fran a long time ago, which is sometimes forgiveness can come so hard, you have to get down on your knees, clench your teeth, and say, as an act of my will, I forgive that individual. As hard as it may be to get down and to put that out into words. But once you put it out in words, then the process of forgiveness and the process of healing will begin. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is that important. Now, we're going to talk some more about forgiveness on Sunday morning. Got a 4-star message lined up on unforgiveness. And I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. Now, do we need to pray for anybody for anything before we wrap it up tonight? Okay. We've always got time for a praise report.
You were talking about that relationship with one another, now cultivating those relationships. And today when I called the phone company to try to see if I couldn't get them to move the date to the Monday so I could get some money together to try to pay them, I was pretty desperate. You get to that point where you're overwhelmed. The bills just keep coming. There's no money. Everybody wants to shut everything off and charge you extra fees. It's like, if I don't have the money to pay in the first place, you're tacking more money onto it. Doesn't help me get it done any quicker. So I just left it over to Arthur. I said, go see if you can't sell some stuff, find some money. We need to get this going. And at the same time, God says, call the phone company and find out if you can move this to Monday so that you have time to find money. So I talked to the gentleman, and I don't know what happened, but God was there. God orchestrated it. And the man says, well, it sounds like by what you're saying that you have, first of all, one really good thing. And I said, what's that? He said, a prayer partner. I told him that Karen and I were praying and so forth. And he goes, I listen to Joyce Myers, he says, and I know this isn't what I'm supposed to do here, but I want to tell you. And we began to talk and fellowship. And he said at the end, I said, well, thank you. This is really a blessing for you to turn everything back on right now and give me till Monday, because they weren't supposed to do it till Monday. And I said, I still have the money I have to get, but at least I feel, you know. He says, well, I want to tell you, he says, you really were a blessing to me today. He says, because I don't get to talk to too many people who actually want to talk about the G word, he says, which we're not supposed to use. He says, but when the client talks about it, he says, that opens the door, and then I can talk. We had a really lovely conversation, and it was kind of like, I said, what is your name? He said, Jim. I said, Jim, I'm an intercessor. I told you that. I says, I will be praying for you. He says, and I'll be praying for you too, Deborah. So that was really a wonderful blessing, and it took the ashes of all that and turned it into joy. It was so wonderful. The other thing I have to say is yesterday, November 10th, was my 7th birthday in the Lord since I came back, and it was so exciting. I thought, you know, I couldn't go back there for anything. There's no way I'd ever go back in any way, shape, or form. That's it.
Amen. You have to wonder how some people can do it. In reality, they're not. But you have to wonder how some people can get along or think they can get along without God. You know, because after you've been walking with him for a while, you just, there's no other way. Or as I always say, once you've taken one step toward God, you've gone too far to turn back.
You know how I feel sometimes? You see little kids, and they're in the store, and they just turn, and their mom and daddy right there, and they'll just hug right into their leg. A little kid did that one time, and she turned, and she grabbed hold of Parker's leg, and he goes, "Hello there." And, you know, she looked up like, "You're not the right person." And, you know, a leg's a leg, right? But that's how sometimes I see myself. It's like I get in a panic, or something happens, and I say, "God," and there he is right there. He's just right there. He's just there. Well, that's our Father God. Always there.
I think Patrick had a praise report, too. He's got to get his microphone out. The secret Patrick mic. It's a secret agent thing.
Well, the person who has hired us to do some work on the database has said, "Well, we're just going to give you a $500 bonus."
Amen. That, you know, and all these things that we hear about, $500 bonus, Deborah's incident that she just related, you know, that's the grace of God at work. That's the favor of God, the unmerited favor of God working in our behalf because he loves us, because he's our source, because he's our provision. Amen? Hallelujah. Uh-oh, but you got to have the microphone.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
We got to hear you.
It's still connected with this incident that I had when I had to go to the emergency room. But on Monday night, we went over to our daughter's and our son's house, and I was feeling really kind of rough that whole evening, and I should have stayed home. And I thought, I was just sitting there, and I told them I was just tired, and I didn't want to tell them I was having a problem, didn't want to spoil their evening. But by the time I got home, I didn't know if I was going to make it. I thought, okay, I'm going to have another one of these things. And then I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hands. And if I wake up, I wake up. And I'm just going to leave it with him. So I slept all night and woke up the next morning, and I was still there.
And no tag on your toe.
I just praise God for that.
Well, we thank you, Lord. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor for everything, Lord. You are so wonderful. You are so precious, Lord. Again, it's inconceivable to me how anybody thinks they can walk through this life on this planet without you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'd ask you now to begin preparing our hearts. As we learn some more about forgiveness, as we learn its importance, learn some of the consequences of walking in unforgiveness, and some of the joys that come from forgiveness, I'd ask you, Lord, to start preparing us now. If there's people in our lives that we need to forgive or we need to seek forgiveness of, we'd ask you, Lord, to start revealing that to us now so that we'd be prepared and we'll be ready to answer the call when it comes. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had here together this evening, Lord. Thank you for guiding us and instructing us. We now seal this word into our hearts, Lord, and we take it in seriously, Lord, because we know this is serious business. This is our spiritual lives that we're talking about here. So we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.